Okay.
All right, Sierra, welcome to the Edge Television broadcast.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be here with you. Thank you for your invitation.
All right. Well, wow, what an amazing bio. I started reading that there, and I mean, it's just like you have had some life going on, Sierra, and it goes all the way back to your early youth. So why don't we start there with you, just kind of introduce yourself, and then let's start from your earliest kind of time period of how you got involved with the things that you have.
Okay, great. So I came in with a lot of memory. I actually have memories back to being in the womb. My mother was being abducted when she was pregnant with me, and I believe that has something to do with the secret space program or the hybridization program that I was a part of. I have a suspicion and belief that my father is a part of the secret space program. Now, my mom got to know him when she was 15 years old, and she worked at a restaurant in Orlando, Florida. And it was just outside of McCoy Air Force Base. And McCoy Air Force Base is a top secret Air Force base that they had lights constantly flying in and out of the bottomless pit that they had there. They did all kinds of experiments and so on. And my mom was there with her friends and was approached by an officer. And he pursued her, and she became pregnant when she was 16 years old with me.
Wow.
And had me just before her 17th birthday. Now, when she went to go tell my father that she was pregnant with me, then he had mysteriously been transferred. And he had been transferred off base. Now, my mom tried to pursue him. She went to where he lived off base. The guy said, hey, he's gone. He didn't tell me anything. She went to the base and said, hey, what's going on? And tried really, really hard to get them to get, you know, what's going on? Where's this man at? I don't know what's happening here. And so, long story short, she was never able to find him after that. And he disappeared from my life completely until later in my life when I was taken into NORAD. Now, I'm a product of a broken home. Now, my mom, dated a couple different men after that. Mm-hmm. And she was dating a gentleman named Dana Farnsworth. And his father was an admiral, or maybe possibly even a higher ranking officer than that, in the Navy. And my mom didn't marry him until I was 5 years old. Until I was 5 years old. And so he was also in the Army. He was Special Forces over in Laos during Vietnam and doing a whole bunch of stuff that we said we weren't supposed to be doing over there. And I was hanging out with his father one day. I remember it like it was yesterday, walking around some orange groves in Orlando, close to a naval base. And he was talking to me, and something about him made me warm up to him. And made me felt like I could trust him. And I don't think that trust was returned very great. But he was talking to me one day, and I started telling him that I could read people's minds. And I said, can't you? Can't anybody? Doesn't everybody do this? And next thing I know, there were some men there at his house the next time that I came, and they were testing me. And they were using the blue cards with the white symbols on it that Corey Good speaks about in his experiences. And the next thing that I know, I am being taken from daycare or school, being taken down into bases underneath Orlando, and being tested and basically trained towards an intuitive empath with regard to the MK Ultra Super Soldier program. This is in 1975. And so from there, because my mom led our life was a bit broken. They ended up breaking up, her and this gentleman that she was married to. And I remember like it was yesterday. It was Dana Sr.'s father slammed him up against the door. I don't think he knew I was watching. Wow. And he said, I don't care what you have to do. You keep that girl in your life. We can't afford to lose track of her. And it didn't matter because my mom rebellious, and she just kind of went, so we disappeared. Now, I was in the program for well over a year, and, you know, there's details and stuff like that we can go into later if you have any more questions with regard to that, but they basically lost track of me until later in life. I went to Adams State College and was on a basketball program in the late 80s and was kicked off the team for being gay. And when I was kicked off the team, I skipped a little bit of a part there. This is important. Let me rewind just a tiny bit. There are a lot of crazy things that happened in my life. I was visited by Men in Black often. And my mother, unfortunately, didn't have the best choices in men. And we ended up getting taken away by the state and placed into foster care. And I was 9 years old when that happened. And my youngest sibling was under 12 months old. I think he's probably 9 or 10 months old. We were all placed into foster care. There was abuse and so on that was going on there. But before we were placed into foster care, I got a visit from a woman in black. She approached me on a playground one day and first started talking to me telepathically. And she approached me and asked me if she could sit down at this playground next to me in a swing. And I responded to her telepathically, you can do whatever you want. And she told me, you know, if it gets too bad, we'll remove you. The abuse was pretty bad, and so they ended up coming in and removing us. I say the state came in, but I really believe it was prompted by whatever organization the Men in Black or so on are with. And it took a while for them to find us because we basically just moved around at will, at whim, didn't have a home for a long time. And I started out on the East Coast. We went from Florida up to Tennessee and then came all the way over to Arizona before they found us and tracked us down. They removed us, gave us new identities, social security numbers, and placed us into foster care. Mm-hmm. And I ended up being eventually adopted at a later age of 13. And most of my siblings and I were separated. But after going to college and being kicked off the team for BJ, I went back home and was beaten and thrown out of the house. My adopted parents were very conservative and did not have any room for any of that in their life. So I joined the Army. It was really interesting that that was my choice, and I really have come to understand that some programming that they put in must have been at a younger age or so, that if for some reason they were to lose track of me or somehow to touch in with the military or something, but basically ended up joining the military just in time from Desert Storm. Mm-hmm. So I came back from Desert Storm, but I was only a reservist when that happened. They activated me out of reserve and brought me in. And so when I went back, I tried to go to college. That didn't work out for me. And it was not long after that that I was visited by the Grays. And so...
Wow.
Would you like me to continue?
Well, of course. Yeah,
okay,
continue.
Wonderful.
Yeah, getting good, Sierra. All right, so you got Grays coming to you. How many Grays were there?
There was only one in the room that night. This was when I awoke, and my girlfriend was in the same room with me, and we had a friend that was in from out of town. And we were all woken by screaming in the courtyard, and we were in an apartment complex on the bottom floor. And I was laying on the right side of the bed nearest the wall where the window was, and on the left side where my girlfriend slept was also the wall towards where the bathroom. Behind us was the living room, and in which our friend was sleeping on the couch right behind, basically the head behind us. And about 12:36 a.m., there was this horrific scream outside, like somebody had the bejesus scared of him. And this woman just screaming. And so my girlfriend gets up. After that happens, I roll over, I look at the clock, 12:36, she gets up, she doesn't say anything, she walks into the bathroom, she shuts the door, doesn't turn on the light, she lifts up the seat cover and sits down, and I thought that was really odd, because normally she turns the light on, was a point of contention, but this time, she just didn't turn it on, didn't close the door, So I fell asleep on my left side facing the bathroom door, thinking that was very odd. Now, the next thing that I know is that I had this adrenaline run through my body because I felt as though somebody was in the room with me. So I opened up my eyes, and standing across the room closest to the bathroom door was a 3-foot-tall Zeta. And at this time, I didn't know what they were. I didn't know what they were called. I just knew that my girlfriend at the time talked about the Greys. I didn't give it much thought. I saw dead people and ghosts and spirits and elementals, and why wouldn't there be something like that running around? I just had never come across it before. And so I tried to move. I tried to move several times, and I was unable to move. And so this ran a lot of adrenaline through my body, and there were multiple times that I woke up and passed out again because I panicked so badly at not being able to move. At one time, so this happened many, many, multiple times, and then finally I thought I heard something when I woke up, and I would panic and pass out because I couldn't move. I focused really hard one day, and I listened when I woke up. One of these times, I listened, and I got really quiet, and I fought my urge to panic and pass out again. And so I listened this time when I started to come to, and I heard really clearly, "Be still. We're not here to hurt you. We're only to check on you." So when that happened, it was this weird thing. I calmed myself enough to feel this sort of wave flowing over my body. And I likened it to, on a, you know, warm summer's day and a cool breeze blowing over your body, your skin is warm, so you sort of feel it roll over you. And that was sort of like the feeling that I was experiencing. And then I had this flash that was very familiar, and then I panicked and passed out again. This time, when I woke up, I was being wheeled down or being floated down. I couldn't really tell. There was no feeling of bouncing. Being taken down this long hallway and flashes of being in a room of tall Zetas standing over me, the tall ones, working on my stomach. I was unable to move, so I couldn't really look and see what they were doing. Next thing I knew, the light came on, my girlfriend opened the door flew open, she was cursing, I looked over at the clock, and it was 4 hours later. And so that was pretty traumatic for me, pretty upsetting. And so the next day I had a friend come and talk to me about it. I had joined this women's group in Manitou Springs in Colorado Springs, which I was living at the time. Even though I was fresh out of the Army, I was always surrounding myself around women and older women to help teach me how to use my gifts and how to control them more, because I was constantly being challenged by being too open, taking too much stuff in. It was just a constant learning process for me as I was navigating the gifts and everything that I had. So she came over and she told me I was pregnant, and I thought that wasn't very funny at all, because I'm a lesbian and I hadn't slept with a man, and I was pretty agitated with her. But then she said, "Tell me what happened." And so I explained everything that happened, and she talked about a Zeta hybridization program that goes way back to the government. It was very upsetting for me. I had just been reconnected with my biological family. I went out and found my mom and all of my brothers and sisters and got everybody back together again. And it took some convincing, several hours of talking to me about it. She wanted me to call my mom because she said, "There's one way to verify whether or not you were part of the program. Call your mom, ask her. She has any memories whatsoever of being taken, of ships, of maybe dreams, she thinks, and being visited by beings." It took a while, and then finally it got, you know, the cure. I had to know. And so I called her up, and I said, you know, I was terrified. I thought she'd think I was crazy and not want to speak to me anymore or something. And so I asked her, I said, "Listen, have you ever had a dream or a slight memory of a UFO or any other ET?" She cut me off. She said, "Listen, I need to talk to you about something." She said, "From the time that you were a baby inside of me, it in the beginning, it was like I was being taken, not taken, but visited. It was like, called them, said, beings that were really friendly and loving. And she said, when I turned about 6 months in her womb, that changed from these loving, benevolent beings visiting to abductions by the military and by Zetas and others. And it became very traumatic for her. And she said that she had drawn, she's an artist, that she had drawn in this little black book years ago, and she's still looking for it for me. the pictures of all of these angels that would come and visit with her. So she ended up having me, and we just sort of like went on the run. Now, the impregnation. So I was very upset by what they were telling me. I thought there is just absolutely no way in the world that I could be pregnant. And so we went to the store and I bought like 3 or 4 or 5 different pregnancy tests. And pregnancy tests after pregnancy tests after pregnancy tests all came back positive. And I started to freak out a bit. And I wanted to know what this hybridization program was, why they felt like they had the right to do that to me. I went back to the women's group. I said, what am I going to do? They said, what do you want to do? This is a soul agreement. In the beginning, it was very, very hard for me to come to terms with that. Eventually, I did. And so I said, if it's a soul agreement, can I break it? And they said, absolutely. What do you want to do with the baby? I said, I want to keep it. It's my baby. I want to keep it. So they said, okay, this is what we need to do. Because they said, it's very, very unusual that anybody would even wake up during the procedure. Probably because of my heightened psychic awareness, I was able to do so, somehow come out of the sedation that they had me in because of the training I've been doing with them or something. And so they said, we've got to keep this quiet. We got to keep you moving around. If you want to keep this child, we got to keep them from finding you again and taking it back.
Wow.
And so for months, I went from sister's house to sister house, sleeping on their couch. The impact on my relationship with my girlfriend was hard. She didn't understand, even though she was a believer. She struggled. She really struggled. And we broke up. I think ultimately when it came to it, it's hard for a person to get their head around that. It's quite paradigm breaking. And I think ultimately she thought I cheated on her and slept with a guy. So we broke up. I floated around on these women's couches. I took care of myself as I should, being a pregnant woman, taking prenatal vitamins and so on. And my girlfriend tracked me down one day, about four months. I would estimate, well, I knew for sure for 4 months that I was pregnant, so I could have been pregnant just a little over. I started to show. I'm 6'3", 145 pounds. It was real easy to see that I was pregnant. I stopped being in construction. I used to swing a hammer on a construction crew. I started driving this thing called a roach coach, you know, the food trucks that go around to the construction site.
Familiar with those, yeah.
And I was doing that, taking care of myself and so on. And my girlfriend came to my work one day and caused a big scene. She said, listen, you're pregnant. This is a real baby. This is a real deal. You should go to the doctor. You've got to go to the doctor. You got to make sure everything is okay. So I took it back to the women's group. What should we do? And they said, well, yeah, ultimately we should. But then there was a great argument about who I should go to, and if I go, they're going to know, and so on. And so we reconvened again, and a woman said, I found a doctor that will see you off hours and keep the information to himself. I said, okay, great. Well, I never got to get to the doctors. I think it was probably 4 or 5 days later, the idea was they were going to come get me when it was time, to constantly keep me in the dark so that whoever could be monitoring me could not anticipate anything because I didn't know it. Mm-hmm. And then I woke up one morning and I just sat straight up holding my stomach screaming no, and the baby was gone. I was completely flat. There was no afterbirth. There was no signs of potential miscarriage.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, Sarah, before we go on, have you seen the movie Extraordinary, The Seeding?
Yes, sir. I'm in it.
It's interesting. I had John Sumpel on a few weeks ago. I was hoping he'd send me the DVD, man. I'm going to have to call him up. Wait a minute. Looks like we had a connection problem here. Hang on, everybody. She is on a cell phone and a very long ways away from here. So hey, there you go. You came back. Well, that was interesting. You dropped out for a second.
I'm back. Okay, I'm back.
Well, anyway, so we had John Sumpel on, who's obviously a director of that movie. And so you're one of the people that he said that when he was on the program, he's absolutely convinced that Earth women have been impregnated and their fetuses, or as we would say, babies, however you like to say it, taken out. And so I can see how that, and I think he even mentioned that relationships have been ruined. Maybe they was talking about you in that situation. I mean, obviously, somebody would think a man did that. But let's get on to a few questions, and we'll try to pick it up where you left off there. And a lot of people are interested in the fact that when you casually mentioned women in black, I am one of those that have never heard that before. I mean, was she dressed in black, or how'd you know she's a woman in black?
I call her woman in black because later on, I've been visited several times by the men in black. And what was odd about this is either they knew to send a woman because of the abuse I was going through, but it was very, very odd. I, too, had not ever known that there were women that were considered like the men in black, but it's a woman in black. Mm-hmm. She is the one who approached me that day out on the playground when I was 7 years old. I believe I was about eight years old. And she was wearing this suit. She stepped out of a black four-door sedan, just nondescript, very military-looking, her hair up in a bun, and so on. So
okay.
I call it a woman in black because there was a man sitting in the car. He never stepped out.
Okay. All right, we have a question from Barbara Briggs out of live chat. It says, Sarah, did you know somebody named Cynthia Crawford? Not the model, but evidently a sculptor in the New Age movement.
You know, it's interesting when you say that. I'm turning in psychically. Is she an experiencer? Because I don't know her off the top of my head.
Cynthia said,
I might have seen her in the program.
Okay. So it says, Cynthia said all aliens are good and that reptilians are just playing their part of evil, but they're not evil. I think that's what she just wanted to know if you might have known her. All right, another question comes in. It says, this for put Yahweh first. What's the deal with the military family alien contacts? I'm an Air Force brat, and he says, I've been attacked by aliens and reptoids. It seems to be a kind of a running theme with the Air Force. What's why are they always involved with this kind of shenanigans?
Well, going back to, well, it goes back to MK Ultra. It goes back a long ways, actually, probably even further back than what we even know with regards to the human hybrid ET program. But with regards to the military, there was a deal struck with the military to an exchange for technologies and information that, specifically, I'm only speaking about the Zetas because this is all I know about, and the reptilians, that there was an agreement for an exchange of biology for technology. I'm not going to get much into what the reptilians do with people because it's not my thing. It's my thing, one of my things, to stop them. Thankfully and luckily, I haven't tangled with them as far as them coming for me.
Mm-hmm.
I have been on a couple of programs, some groups that are both human and extraterrestrial or galactic or whatever you want to call them,
mm-hmm.
that are going around and trying to fix the timeline and trying to help with a lot of different things that are going on the planet. So I haven't had anything to do with the reptilians, but to answer your question, there was a deal struck.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody in the military, whether you know it or not, when you raise your hand and you make that pledge, you become government property. That means you and your family become government property. And so families, people in the military themselves, will have a higher chance at having an abduction slash experience with the extraterrestrials than civilian people.
Earlier, you mentioned a few times that you were involved with women's groups. Were any in the were they all sort of secular, or did was there any Christian women in those groups?
Yeah, there's these women comprised of a bunch of different types of belief systems. There were the Wiccans, which is the earth-based belief system from the Irish dating back. There are definitely Christian women in there. I myself am an Episcopalian minister. With everything that I've experienced in my life, when I got out of school and out of the war, it drove me to try and find answers, because I came from a very conservative family through my adoption, and I knew spirituality, Christ, God, to be different than what I was being taught. And so I went on my own journey, went into theology, and became a minister.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I had this question come in actually before the show. Well, let me get this. This just popped in the inbox here. It says, this is from Joe. He says, Sierra, you're an amazing woman, incredible life. Thank you for your service. And then there's another question that came in. Let me get back to it. This came in before the show. Give me a second to look it up. And that was from Ray. Says Ray says, can you now? They might be jumping ahead here, because it seems to indicate that perhaps you were on the ship. But he says, can you recall any symbols or scripts or any form of writings on an alien ship?
Absolutely, I can close my eyes and see about 58 different writings right now.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, I've come across 27 races. I know that there are more than that in our galaxy, but I've seen upwards of 58 different symbology through on ships.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know languages, about, if you want to.
I don't know about ancient aliens. I don't know if they've seen it, but I've seen was purported to be alien script from recovered pieces from the Roswell ship, and basically even from Aztec pottery going way back, in various DVDs I've seen and movies I've seen about ancient aliens, sort of, so to speak. They all had this sort of, there's this sort of look to what they call alien script. Have you seen any of those videos, and is that the type of script that you've seen?
Yes, ancient aliens, and I'm trying to remember, he's a friend of mine too, Native Man, it'll come to me maybe as I'm speaking, but he wrote several books about the star people and the star writing that came specifically on the eye bars and some of these recovered things from Roswell. And he talks about how, you know, we as Native American people, because I too am Cherokee, is that we believe that we come from the stars, and to the stars that we shall return. And from our oral history, from many, many thousands of years, it's passed down that there have been people coming from the stars, and that they've given us certain teachings and so on for a long time. Now, this one bar that he I'm sorry, buddy. I'm so sorry. I can't remember his name.
Sure.
But, he talked about the fact that even just on this one bar, he surmised that it was possibly instructions, and it was written in six or seven different languages that they could come up with just on one particular bar. So now you're talking about not only one language on one ship, but multiple languages on the same ship engraved in an I-beam of a ship that was captured.
Mm-hmm. Recovered. Okay. Troy asked this question. This is Sierra. Do you know anything about what's going on in Antarctica?
There's so much going on in Antarctica, and has been for quite some time. And I believe Corey Good spoke at length about this, and David Wilcock recently in Above Majestic, in the movie that they just released. And there was, back in 1956, 57, I believe, there were 55, the world came together and signed a treaty, basically agreeing that anything that was found in Antarctica would not be militarized, and that has just been blown completely out of the water. Absolutely, they've militarized it. Absolutely, they've reverse engineered. There are cities down there that are being reclaimed by humans mm-hmm. on the planet, and there is that's quite a loaded question. Now, is there something more specific they'd like to know about Antarctica? Because there's a lot happening mm-hmm. there.
Well, I mean, the follow-up question for somebody else was, have you ever been there? So that'd be the follow-up question. Have you been invited to Antarctica?
I was teleported over there once.
Oh.
And, you know, it wasn't a fun trip. Things are really weird down there. I don't much like going there. And so I've only been there once. And it was just to meet with a group that was talking about, you know, everywhere in every place there's a hierarchy to things. There are groups overseeing groups, overseeing groups, overseeing groups. There's this group that's responsible for our evolution, this group that's responsible for universal law. There's this group making sure that these other groups aren't stepping out of line. And it's just, you know, Corey speaks a lot about this in the Blue Sphere Alliance, and Blue Beam Sphere Alliance, and how there are so many different types of inner and outer beings here on inner Earth, outside of our Earth, on the planet. You know, Antarctica has just been this massive gobbling up of technology, trying to also suppress our own history too.
So what did you
act to the old city?
My question is there any good chicken joints down there in Antarctica? Can I get any good fried chicken down there?
Absolutely not. You know, it's really interesting. It's the technology there is really incredible, and I've been able to see, witness with my own eyes, beaming technology moving an object from one side of the room to the other. And I've also seen replicators with regard to making food, making objects, and so on. Mm-hmm. And so now we're actually starting to see some of these technologies that they found under the ice in Antarctica, and they're reverse engineering our phones. Are an example of this, how fast we've jumped in our technology mm-hmm. gives that we didn't evolve that fast. We found mm-hmm. those things mm-hmm. and are reverse engineering these
yeah.
things.
So are you sort of the mind in the of the that the ancient aliens seeded humans?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. After this experience with the Zetas and the Greys, I buried it really, really deeply. And I went on the run for like 9 years. I didn't have a checking account. I didn't have a cell phone. I couldn't be tracked. I was scared real badly after going into NORAD, being taken in by the Men in Black and having time disappear. I was there for 8 hours, and I can only account for maybe 4.5 hours of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's tough to responsibly talk about some of the things that are happening out there without completely overwhelming people and making them feel helpless. You see what I'm saying? For every perceived bad guy that's out there, there's a group of beings that are trying to help us too.
Oh.
And so we have, even within the secret space program, within these different groups, we have good people working for the good of humanity, people working to help balance everything out. And so when in 2007, I had a massive stroke and my heart stopped. I stroked and stroked and stroked with regard to symptoms that I got. Mm-hmm. Storm syndrome.
Oh.
And when I woke up, I was completely paralyzed on my left side. And I started being approached by beings asking for my help as an empath intuitive, as an earth representative, to go help correct timelines. So my questions were, I immediately started to ask, who are you? When did you start interacting with this? And as a person of faith, I wanted to know how it all fit together. As a person who believes in God and believes in a divine being out there and in a good and loving and just God, I needed to, in my own mind, start fitting the pieces together, because it didn't make sense what I was learning in high school. It didn't make sense in history, and it didn't actually make sense in the Bible what I was learning. I still have a lot of points of contention mm-hmm. because I have this weird memory or memories. And so when I started to be asked to go and interact with these different groups, I asked about the history of human beings, what happened. And they had informed me that Earth is way older than what they teach in the history books, that there has been much life, many different forms of life that have come and gone from this planet, who have come, evolved, become anthropos, and left. So many different types of forms. Mm-hmm. And there are multiple beings in our galaxy, mm-hmm. and in our universe, we're again one of the younger galaxies. Mm-hmm. And so how I like to explain this is, if you can think of a round circle, and this is the omniverse.
Okay.
And you just cut this in four quarters like this, just okay. like this and like this, and you end up with four major pieces or parts here. Now imagine, through time and space, all of these other parts were developing life, were developing sentient beings, were developing and evolving for a countless amount of time, way far back that the mind can't even grab it, mm-hmm. okay?
Okay.
God went out and created life, right? Well, we just happen to be some of the youngest life that's been out there being created. This is the youngest universe. And ours is the youngest galaxy. We are the new kids, okay? So what had happened was, there had been a time where, because the Earth goes through many different changes. In fact, we're having right now, one right now where the North Pole is shifting. So the poles are shifting. Mm-hmm. Earth is responding to it, and the different things that are going on are happening. There is some weather manipulation, but there is a shifting of the poles. And every so often, the Earth goes through a reset, and then different life starts to grow on her. Now, there is an agreement with regard to these other beings and all this whole hierarchy that I told you about as to who can do what. And I was told that there are beings that came here and violated universal law. They started to create human beings with their DNA, mixing it with Homo erectus to create slaves to mine gold for them. This is the Anunnaki. And so a distress signal was sent out by Gaia, because I've been told that this planet is a conscious being and is the living library mm-hmm. and contains every bit of successful evolution of life from every other galaxy has been put onto this planet. It is a gem. It is to be cared for. It is a living library. And so when the Anunnaki came and violated this free will, okay. distress call was sent out. Now, the council comes together and they say, you guys, you weren't supposed to do that. And then the Andromedans and the Syrians and the Pleiadians, everybody else is all up in a roar, like, listen, they can't just be coming down here. They've messed this up. We want our own representation of life on the planet, since there's been an interruption of the plan. And so we ended up on this, in this particular run of life, with the most diverse DNA that's ever been put here on the planet, ever at one time. there's usually just been one or two or three forms of life as far as higher sentient beings allowed to come up and everything. And then things would be reset, and then another thing was experimented.
All right, Sarah, let me just stop there. You said you're a minister. So how do you square saying that aliens seeded life on Earth with the existence of God, which biblically says that he created man in his own image? So was that a lie?
It's a control program put here to control humanity's
What's a control program?
The fact that there's a lot of truth in the Bible, and this is what really drove me and has caused me to dig as much as I have, everything you're saying right now. In my mind, I needed to, how do I reconcile this? How, as a woman of belief, and I thought to myself, I'd like to know. Mm-hmm. And so there was one situation where they took me back. They took me back.
Who did?
And I was shown the original God source. And the Big Bang Theory that they talked about is that at some moment, and this is only my experience, and I believe that everybody needs to come to their
Sarah, you might be losing the audience on it. I just, maybe you could simplify it for us.
Okay.
Obviously, you're a minister.
I was shown.
Okay.
Yes. I was shown at a moment when God decided to, the Big Bang kind of, well, okay, when God chose to have, to make life, to go and make life, there was a separation of itself, of the God source that went out and made and created life. It's as if, and it's the best way that I can describe it is that God chose to release bits of the God self to go out and start creating and doing.
Yeah, you know, some people, some people believe that God spoke and bang, there was life. So for a lot of folks out here, that's pretty simple and pretty straightforward. And frankly, it's just as plausible as any other theory out there. And there may be evidence for it and maybe evidence against it, but certainly it's in on an equal platform of everything else.
Absolutely. And I get what you're saying there. It's anything, if you want to boil it down to the most simple, simplistic thing, is God, why couldn't and why wouldn't God create just about every kind of form of life that there is?
Mm-hmm.
It's God. God mm-hmm. can do anything.
Okay.
And when you start to talk about infinite time or timelessness, that everything's happening at the same time. That's a little bit of a crazy. Okay, let me bring it back to this. God in his, her glory decided that there was to be life. And life happened. And life kept happening and happening and happening and happening and happening and happening and happening, evolving and growing and being across countless planets, across countless time. And basically, all accumulated down to the Garden of Eden here on the planet. I believe this is the garden. I believe the entire planet is. I had to reconcile inside of myself the places where I felt in my knowing and in my heart of hearts that are not true about what we've been taught in the Bible. This has been my journey, and how I've reconciled it is that there are multiple forms of life and that God started this, and it continues to create itself.
Hmm. Including the aliens. Right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Dreammarker asked this question. Did the aliens let you ever see the baby they took from you?
No. It wasn't until years later that in 2009... that a lot of high strangeness started happening. It was after my stroke, and a part of my brain was being healed, and I was being told that I needed to deal with the trauma of that experience to be able to let it go so that I could provide the service to humanity that I was being asked to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to become okay with this experience because I wasn't. And I carried a lot of animosity and upset about it. And so a lot of work, a lot of coming to terms with mm-hmm. what had happened and letting that go. Put me in a position where I could be of service.
Okay. A couple of people asked while you were talking, they want to know, is that a snake tattoo on your hand?
No, it's permanent henna.
What is that?
Tattoo.
Well, I mean,
it is mandala. It's sacred geometry that's been tattooed on my hand.
Because I was thinking, well, if that is a snake, when you're moving your hand, it kind of looks like the snake's alive, you know. Okay. Question. Stack Stevenson, have you ever seen the Anunnaki?
No, actually. That's an interesting question. I wonder if they were removed permanently because of what they did.
Mm-hmm.
I've not seen them.
They're some bad dudes. Okay. And let's get some more questions here. Paul Cishis, one of our previous guests, says, have you ever discovered any gifts given or extraordinary abilities?
Yes. I came in as an empathic intuitive. I came in with not very much of a veil from the time I was a kid, so I've always been able to see through dimensions, through dimensions frequency. I believe everything that we're this is frequency, and that's the reason my hand isn't going through here, okay?
Okay.
Now, a frequency also allows me to see people who have passed their spirit. It allows me to see angels. I've had long conversations with the angelic realm. That's mm-hmm. been pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows me to see these other beings that I believe exist like a half phase off from where we are.
Mm-hmm. Has any of these angelic beings has any of these angelic beings ever taken you to see Jesus?
Yeah, actually. I don't talk about it much because not very many people have asked me about it. That's funny. Yeah, actually, he's a kind of a cool dude, to be quite honest with you.
Okay.
I had a question, and I had this long-standing question about Christ and what his role was here, and what happened and why it wasn't successful. And so I remember I was brought on ship, and I was taken into a room, and the door opened, kind of slid back, and Christ walked through, and it was just like, whoa, he didn't need an introduction. Anyway. So he walked up and he sat down and he talked to me about how he was trying to get people to understand the truth and how that there is this brainwashing program, these beings, these things that have been on the planet teaching us the wrong things, not allowing us to understand universal law, not allowing us to understand what the truth is, and that his story had been bastardized. It had been taken and done things to and used more as a control mechanism than a tool of truth or empowerment. And so that was a pretty cool conversation with him.
Mm. Was he wearing a robe in the classical sense?
No, actually. He was wearing torn-up jeans,
okay.
Sandals. One of those, you know, like what the pirates used to wear? They're kind of big and... big orange white shirt.
Not like a pot,
sort of like that. And he was just really casual and long, curly, dark hair.
Kind of like Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, he was all in skin and he had really bright green eyes. I'll never get over the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Doreen asked a question. Do you know anything about Planet X?
With regard to the one that the Anunnaki are supposed to be riding,
I don't know who the hell's on that planet.
There's a lot of theories out there about what Planet X is.
Well, you know, hey, by the way, you know, the Doobie Brothers had a song in the 70s that said, Jesus is just all right. That's kind of the kind of vibe I'm getting from you when you're talking about Jesus.
He really was a cool dude. I can't even begin
Jesus,
to, like,
he's my brother. Sing it with me now. Jesus, he's my friend. I like that song. I think I'll play it on my guitar. Let's get to another question for you. Barbara Briggs, do you believe in reincarnation?
Well, interesting. I have taken my entire life to break any belief system I have because I believe it's control system. So let me just talk to you about that. I died, and I had consciousness and thought afterwards. I was given a choice as to whether or not I could come back into my body and finish this. So, if you want to call it reincarnation, sure. I believe that the soul is permanent, and we record all of our experiences in and out of different lifetimes and different experiences. I do not believe that we have a one and done. That is the most limited thing I've ever thought of, heard. Even when I was being raised and as a person of faith with this sort of hardened belief systems, I questioned that.
What's over there? Is there a gray over there?
There was a dog running by, and I was making sure it wasn't coming in and getting my chickens.
Okay. Okay, there's a dog running by. Like, outside, in the house? Are you in a house? Where are you at?
I'm in a house, but I can see out to the road, and it was running up the road.
It wasn't a dog man. It wasn't one of them dog man creatures, was it?
It was very odd looking, I'll be honest with you. I'm not really sure what the hell that was.
Okay.
It looked like a dog. Anyway.
That's pretty exciting. All right. All right. Well, maybe we'll get the dog in here. Get him on the show. All right. Question. Says, please enlighten us where you went off the earth.
On ship, mostly.
Okay.
Oh, I see. Do I get to travel anywhere? I have seen the Pleiades. I've seen Andromeda, I've seen Mars, the moon, the dark side of the moon, where all the bases are. There's so much life there, it's ridiculous. We're talking about, I traveled in my physical body, just to answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
I went in my physical body. I have seen a couple other... there are bases on asteroids in our galaxy.
Oh.
So I've been to a lot of these bases.
Okay. And is that part of the secret space program?
For the secret space program?
Is that part of the secret space program?
I've heard of the secret space program.
Are those bases part of that?
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
You said you saw bases. I'm just asking, is our secret space program part of those bases on off planets?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. We've got life on... I've been told that there's humanity with regard to human beings is on some countless 200 or 300 planets or bases or outposts right now. Mm-hmm. So it raises the question, did we start here, or did we come from someplace else?
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right. I'm for here. If do you have any druthers on that?
Yeah. I believe that this particular round of humanity did start here, and it started with the Anunnaki, and then and then all the different Pleiadian, Sirian, Lyran, Andromedan, multitude of beings came down and seeded their own people here on the planet, and then we've evolved from there.
Mm-hmm.
Now that was taking their DNA and mixing it with the current hominid. So we are talking about sort of star children. So in a way, we didn't start out here. We were sort of created and put here, and then we've evolved. And then there's been a mixing of the species, and then there's been a constant interaction between the, if you want to call it the ancient aliens or the aliens or extraterrestrials or our galactic brothers and sisters have been interacting with people. So, and then from what I understand, it's this program that has been people out there. People have been taken against their will, depending on what phase of the secret space program. They were told that Earth had been destroyed and they couldn't go back. There are a lot of colonies in a lot of different places of humanity coming from here, coming from Kara, called Terrans.
Okay. By your bio and what you said in the first hour, it sounds like you suffered some abuse at the hands of various people, including the aliens. Do you think that at any time any of that abuse may have perhaps maybe split any part of your personality, and to survive that split, you came to the belief, like you're saying about the Palladians and the seeding and the various type of things that you have constructed your story with? Is that, I'm not making light, I'm asking, is that a possibility?
Yeah.
Like a safety mechanism?
You know, anything's a possibility. Got it. I got what you're saying. Yeah, anything is a possibility. And I, too, you know, I talk about it just like off the cuff or casually right now, but I've spent an extraordinary amount of time chasing down what I thought was the truth, looking to see if I was crazy, seeing what was going on. And over my lifetime, I say that through continual experiences and mostly from other people talking about the same exact thing, I wonder if we could all have had traumatic experiences and be making it up. At this point, it's just not possible. So over the hundreds of conversations that I've had with others about their experiences, cross-referencing information, digging in, trying to find truth for myself, you know, I kept this quiet for a long time. A very, very long time, because I just wasn't going to talk about stuff I wasn't sure about. Now, the stuff about the secret space program and what happened to me for that year when I was 5, I am still uncovering. I've been slowly but surely mining the memories of that. And that one I don't trust as much, because I do know that I have been given false memories. I do know that some of that manipulation has happened. I do know that through certain parts of my life, I've compartmentalized and I've specifically locked down information and kept it away. I've specifically opened up those things and dug into it. But it takes training. It takes professional. It takes regression. It takes psychotherapists to guide you through these different things and undetangle everything. And I have put the time and energy into that, and I continue to do so with regard to the Secret Space Program, MKUltra. When I'm ready, I'll be releasing my book about all of that. I've been working with Captain K, Randy Kramer, and I've been trying to get a hold of Corey Good, actually, because he, too, was... he was categorized as intuitive empathic in the MKUltra Super Soldier program.
Have you ever heard? Have you ever heard of somebody named Russ Dizdar?
No.
Okay. How can we be sure that some of the things you've alluded to tonight aren't part of planted memories, as you just said that you know that you have?
You don't. Basically, and the reason why I come out and I talk about these things is to help people prepare, educate people, get our society ready for becoming an open contact with everything that's going on out there, to prepare people to be okay with the kind of paradigm shift I believe is truly coming in our lifetime. I don't think it's going to take 20 years. I don't think it's going to take all of that. We're very, very close, I believe, to some open contact.
Sarah, I've had
given a little bit of time.
I've had a lot of guests on the program. Some say they have, and there have been some that have said they were abducted. There seems to be a recurring theme, and that's kind of what you said. You've talked to other people that had a sort of recurring theme, and that sort of bolstered your belief in a lot of things that are that you've been saying. But there are another group out there that says that they've used the name of Jesus to stop abductions. That seems to be a recurring theme, and for a lot of people, they've been set free or been let loose, or the abductions have stopped by using that name. Have you ever tried to stop whatever's harassing you with that name?
Hang on. I really apologize. There's something going on out here. Hang on, Daniel. I'll be right back.
Okay. Wow. Got some intrigue going on now. Ooh. Interesting point in the broadcast. Isn't it, guys? All right. We will just wait to see what's happening here. Very dramatic.
I am so sorry. I'm really sorry about that.
It's okay.
You need to handle that.
Okay, what happened there?
A dog situation, and I needed to make sure that we didn't... I take care of a chicken and turkey farm, and I'm here by myself right now, and we have a neighbor dog that likes to come down and kill chickens, so my dog barked, and I need to make sure that they weren't out there doing that. So thank you for your...
Oh, that's fine. I love the drama there, but I can't relate because my wife and I went out to our chicken coop, and here's this big old fat hawk sitting on our swing that we made for the chickens, man. And that hawk just ate a chicken. So, you know, or you could say abducted it. Or as a AOC supporter say, eat the babies. All right, let's get to this question here. It says you are a minister. Do you have a congregation?
No. I became, I'm not sure what it's called when they give you the accreditation for that. I became a minister only just because it came with all the schooling. The title comes with it. I chose not to take a congregation. I've been so driven to try to find the truth and so on, and I've been such a different kind of a thinker.
Yeah.
So I didn't do it to lead a congregation. I did it for my own personal need for knowledge.
Hey, Sierra, I'm just wondering if when I was talking about using the name of Jesus, if that triggered that dog to go get one of your chickens.
Nah. No. But going back to that, I have actually I've done a lot of abduction support with people. And there are, so here's the thing. There is universal law, and in that law, it says that you say, and you give permission, or you take permission away. Okay, it's up to you. And, yes, I've actually spoken to several people who are safe, and I say this to them, and they say, okay, well, I don't feel like that. I said, okay, great. Is somebody you feel like you can call on? They said, Jesus. I said, great, because that'll work just as well, too. When you say no, they're supposed to adhere to that. Mm-hmm. And if you need to bring in the big guns, like Christ, go ahead and do that. That will stop. They will stop.
Wow. Now, have you used the name of Jesus in any of your life experiences to stop harassment, abductions, and so impregnations, especially the impregnation part?
I saw something once, and it was a being, and it disturbed me so badly. And it's these elemental beings, they talk about that eat fear and live off of fear and pain and suffering. And for some reason, it started to approach me one day, and I immediately called for Jesus Christ to come and help me. And before I knew it, that thing was just zapped away. And because I tried a couple other things, no, don't come any further. You are not allowed. I have not given you permission. And it kept coming, and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, be thee behind me now. It disappeared.
Wow.
So.
Well, you're verifying what I've learned on this program myself by talking to various guests. Peter from Australia says, are you familiar and I'm going to get this wrong because I'm just a cowboy. It says, are you familiar with a demiurge? If so, what is your view on this?
Demiurge. No, I've heard of demigod, yeah, but not demiurge.
All right, Peter, from Australia, if you got the way to clarify that or give us more information on that, we'll get it to Sierra. And then Dreamwalker asked this question. What do you think about the Mandela effect? If you've heard of it.
You broke up. Hang on. One more time. Can you say it again?
Yeah, Dreamwalker out of our live chat says, what do you know about the Mandela effect? Or have you ever heard of the Mandela effect?
Yeah, absolutely. It's basically Hitler got time travel, y'all. Let's just deal with that. Okay. And while he was losing the war, he was on purpose losing the war, okay? Because he had found Antarctica and was messing around with a bunch of technology and stuff like that there, and started time traveling and trying to specifically alter humanity in time traveling, and kept making a lot of mistakes. It's just a whole, you just don't do that. So, meaning there's a whole hierarchy of beings and things, you just don't. So, there has been timeline manipulation and correction, meaning that we remember something in our own lifetime, growing up, the way that something is named, something is spelt, and so on. And I can't think of any example right off the top of my head, but then it changes. And you go back and it's different from movies to names of restaurants and so on. And that is a product of the timeline manipulation or correction.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Azure out of the live chat. Do you know anything about Project Serpico? And if so, do you have any interesting things to elaborate on that about?
Not Serpico. I don't know anything about that.
Mm-hmm. Some people think that the Nazis still live underneath the earth. Do you agree with that?
Well, they don't live under the earth that I understand. They live, there's a big base in Antarctica. There is some under earth stuff in Russia. But mostly they've left planet, to be quite honest with you. Mm-hmm. They've taken their nonsense out in the galaxy. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
When do you think we're going to have full disclosure?
In our lifetime.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've had a graphic in the back there, this one in particular, which some claim is actual soft disclosure from the Navy. Can't we use that? I mean, they basically say they're out there. Is that, or are we going to have a landing like in the movie, the day the Earth stood still?
I hope it's not like that, because that would be one of the staged type of a thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been many discussions back and forth. How do we have open disclosure? I've been told that there's been a prime directive been given to the leaders of the world since 2012. 2013, I was a part of some groups and some meetings where there were some pretty major world leaders brought in and warned, like, listen, you've only got a certain amount of time to start letting people know the truth. And so let's look at this. Yes, I believe it's soft disclosure, and I believe that's how they're planning on giving it to us. We've got already some countless number of classified documents that have been unclassified, declassified. Now we've been sifting through that for years and years and years, mm-hmm. and pulling all kinds of stuff mm-hmm. and documents out, and then going out and finding people that are still alive to verify the documents that we've pulled mm-hmm. out of these.
Hey, by the way, Sierra, how is it the aliens steer their ship? Did you see control? Did you see a control panel on the alien ship?
Yes, on the bigger ones, but on the smaller ones, the smaller craft, it's done telepathically.
Mm-hmm. So, but on the bigger ones, they would do it while they sit in a chair, or does it look like Star Trek or what?
I didn't see anything that looked like Star Trek. I saw people moving around and doing different things on the ship. Mm-hmm. This is now after, not the time that I was with the Zetas or anything like that, but as an adult, when I've been asked to go on these missions and so on. Mm-hmm. There are certain technology. There are certain, they're light ships. They're like quantum. They're light and form and consciousness. So there's the metal ships. There's a more dense form of spacecraft that needs to be that can be flown with controls or remotely, but the more advanced that you get, you have to use telepathy to control mm-hmm. these ships with. Mm-hmm.
Do you have telepathy yourself? Do you operate in that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Okay, I'm thinking of a number. What is it?
Well, if you're going to think of the number, you need to stop changing the number in your head.
No, I got it. I when you put your head down, I just told people what it was.
You did what?
When you put your head down, I just told the audience what it was.
Gotcha.
Okay, so what was that number?
That was 4.
Huh? Did you say 4?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you're so close. It was 3.
Really?
Hey, we'll take what we can get on the program, man. You know, that's close enough. Why not? All right. Here's a question for you. Or I guess it's an explanation from Peter. It says, Demiurge is Gnosticism, a heavenly being subordinate to the supreme being that is considered to be the controller of the material world. So there you go on that one there. All right. Put Yahweh First says, Sierra, are you familiar with DARPA Project Pegasus?
Yeah. What would you like to know?
Put Yahweh First. What would you like to know? All right, we'll ask him what he wants to know about it. So how many people are out there, such as yourself, as having these type of experiences? The way that the Extraordinary Seating movie put it, that there are millions. Do you agree with that? Millions of women that are getting impregnated and their fetuses ripped out and grown on an alien base somewhere?
You know, it's interesting because I'd like to, yes. But differently, mm-hmm. differently than that. Remember when I said that I was told that we have all of these different experimentations going on the planet right now from these different DNA genetic lines. Mm-hmm. I was told that at some point humanity was not going to make it in this run. So not necessarily that there were a bunch of women being abducted and forcibly made to carry fetuses and they're removed, but that there are many, many people that have been abducted, whether they taken, whether they know it or not, in an effort to save the genetic pool. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily need to be taken by Greys or... I've actually had many conversations with people that have been... They don't call it abduction, they call it visitation. Because it was a benevolent experience, mm-hmm. and they were visited, and mm-hmm. so on. Mm-hmm. So when you start to accumulate, I believe, all the people who have had the lower vibrational kind of stressful type of experiences, and those who have had all the benevolent ones, you start adding all that stuff up, I believe that millions of people have been contacted.
Mm-hmm. And it's all telepathically?
No, I think it can be done in many different ways. Physically, telepathically, showing up in your space, mm-hmm. in dream time sometimes that's happened, some of the more benevolent mm-hmm. beings. But I believe that DNA harvesting has been being done and continues to be done with all life mm-hmm. here on the planet. Remember,
why is it such advanced technology has always seemed to keep on experimenting? They've been experimenting for a long time with millions of people's DNA and, you know, getting cattle to go down, various things like that. What is it that they can't seem to achieve?
I guess it's perspective, right? If they're trying to achieve something, what are they trying to achieve? It just depends on which life form you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Are they trying to save their particular genetic makeup that they've created to this far? or are they trying to create new life? So in a lot of the conversations I've had with more of the benevolent forms of these races, is that they are as an attempt to help us evolve, to come to anthropos, to come to consciousness, to break out of. I've been told that there is a major control program running on this planet with the people for a very long time that wasn't supposed to be here, wasn't supposed to be that way. Mm-hmm. This is the proverbial Garden of Eden from all of mm-hmm. creation, and mm-hmm. we were not supposed to be enslaved in the way that we have been.
Yeah. But by the way, after it looks
to
like
break that too, one of have us wake up.
Sarah, one of our viewers in our live chat, Stack Stevenson, says he's going to go on a beer run after the program. He wants to know if you could telepathically tell us what beer he's going to go run for. Bet you never
I
been
see
asked
Michelob.
That
I don't know, man.
Okay, Stack, are you going? This is Stack Stevenson. Where are you going for Michelob? Okay, that's an interesting question there. We'll get to see. Somebody asked the question, do the aliens pick our presidents, or are all of our U.S. presidents alien hybrids theirself? That's obeying their orders.
I don't believe that they're alien hybrids. I actually believe that they are from a bloodline of the controlling families. Now, this is where the reptilians come in, mm-hmm. and they've been trying to control very specific bloodlines and power through our current history. And yes, I believe they are all of that particular bloodline, not the good ones.
Mm-hmm. And that always comes up to the reptilians are the evil ones. Do they control the grays?
Well, let me say this. They have, yes, everybody has bad guys in their group. Mm-hmm. Every human being has bad guys in their group. To say that they all are bad, how can I say that? That all of them are bad is inconsistent, mm-hmm. inaccurate. But that their particular Afro-Draconians that have come to this planet and trying to rule our and control our humanity mm-hmm. and to feed off the fear and the terror and so on and so on and so on, that's not good. But I did have the blessing, I guess, because I too held not only this firm belief, but kind of a little bit of a hatred, to be quite honest with you, mm-hmm. towards that particular group of individuals. Mm-hmm. And then I was brought on ship and introduced to a draconian that was all white with blue eyes and said that those type of reptilians aren't the only kinds of reptilians and they are not to represent the entirety of their culture. Mm-hmm. It just happens to be that they've been in here messing with our thing for too long, and they're wrong about it.
Well, my basic policy, if I ever run into a reptilian, I'm going to shoot first, ask questions later. I'm not dealing with them. I will not deal with them. But let me ask you.
It's unnerving.
Yeah, well, they are unnerving. I'm going to look at them. They ain't got no lips or crazy looking. I always heard that whenever you smile, it pisses off a reptilian anyway, so I try to encourage people to smile as much as they can. Did any of these beings or anybody ever tell you what happens when you die?
Oh, absolutely. We take our collective memory and experience, mm-hmm. and then we choose what we want to do after that, and what experience to further, I guess, the God consciousness, if you want to mm-hmm. put a fine point on it.
You lost me there. What happens to you? You get to decide where you want to go?
Yeah, you get to decide where you want to go. And this goes back to my theory that I've developed, that we're all a portion of God and that we've gone out and we create and we continue to make choices based on what we're doing in our soul and what we're facilitating for the God source.
Mm-hmm. So when I pass on, if I want to go hunting and fishing, I mean, what I have, like the ultimate
if
hunting
you
ground?
To.
Is it really whatever I want?
If you want to, mm-hmm. it's up to you.
Okay.
When you get to the other side, it's like all the veils are removed. It's how do I explain it? There's no separation. When I was dead for those moments, mm-hmm. I mean, I've already have all my life felt like there's no separation between me and people, and I have a hard time keeping out thoughts and emotions and so on. I've gotten better as I've gotten older, but when you're outside of your physical coil, the limitations aren't there. So it's like you instantly know a bunch of stuff. You instantly understand you're not alone. You instantly know that you are completely connected to everything around you. And from there, you make your choices, mm-hmm. what you want to do next.
All right. Well, Sierra and Evelina, we're at the end of the broadcast. Anything you'd like to say to wrap this thing up?
I appreciate the people who listen to this, and I understand that it is a stretch. And I only come out here to provide assistance, support, knowledge, information, and I hope that it is useful and beneficial. Mm-hmm. And I so appreciate you having me on the show.
Were you a bit skeptical coming on the program?
Coming on the program? Yeah. I'm always skeptical going on programs. I don't do very many interviews, mm-hmm. and I basically kind of ask my team who's approved for me to go and not go, mm-hmm. and they said you were a go.
Whoa.
So.
All right.
Good.
good to know I was approved. All right. Well,
yes, you were.
All right. Okay, well, this program will be uploaded to our website, and we'll extract the audio and the video from it, too, as well, Sierra. Appreciate you coming on the broadcast.
Thank you so much, my friend. You take care.
You too. All right. Goodbye.